Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Now, first up this morning, internal housing department documents show the government's housing targets are drastically underestimated. It's according to the Irish Daily Mail's front page this morning, which says we're facing a housing shortfall of around 65,000 homes by the year 2030. Craig Hughes is the paper's political correspondent and he has the story and he's here with me in the studio. Good morning to you, Craig. Thanks for coming in. So you've run the numbers on this. So will you just take us through how far off the targets are at the moment?
Sure, and good morning, Claire. So Housing for All, the government's blueprint for solving the housing crisis, was published last year. The metrics, or the data that they used, was primarily based on the 2016 census data. That projected an average figure needed of around 34,750 homes per year up until 2030, only breaching 40,000 in the final year of that plan. However, since then, a lot has changed. You have the new census data, which showed the population rising by 7.6% to over 5.1 million. And there was also some unmet demand in the intervening years from 2020 to now. And that has led to the figure of 42,000 homes a year. Now, if you're to project that over the life cycle of the Housing for All plan, it would leave you with a shortage of just over 65,000 homes. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I've been asking, and then, sorry, and you also have to take into consideration as well the fact that Ukrainian refugees haven't been taken into consideration here as well. And the longer this war goes on, the more we know that a lot of these Ukrainians are going to stay here long term. So that has to be factored in as well. And there will be a full review by the ESRI at the start of next year once the census data is finalised.
Okay, so the Housing for All targets then, as they are currently constituted, they're based on the 2016 figures, as you have explained. Did you get any indication in putting this story together today that they're going to be reviewed?
Well, it in the document that I saw, it does say that there will be review in early next year, and then in the response to the Department of Housing said that Cabinet agreed at the end of last month to also include people who are here on temporary protection orders in those new figures. That'll be factored in as well. But I think the government will have to accept the longer that the war in Ukraine goes on, that there's going to be less and less incentive for people who've come here to go back to. And they will then therefore have to start planning to house these people in the medium to long term.
So we're not building enough now, that's clear. But the Taoiseach at the weekend did say that the targets are no longer adequate. So is there an awareness of the problem?
Well, I've been asking Minister for Housing, Dara Bryan, about this for quite some time, and he'd been kind of deflecting the question for quite a while, saying it's a live document and all the rest of it. The Taoiseach at the weekend, in an interview with the Sunday Independent, said that he believed that the figures that we need to be building between 35,000 and 40,000 consistently for the next decade. So if you take the high end of that range there, the 40,000 over the next 10 years, that would leave you with a shortfall of just over 47,000 on the current projections. If you take the midpoint of it, that would leave you with around 24,750 shortfall. So it is clear that there is a shortfall based on the existing targets.
And you spoke to Dr. Lorcan Sarr as well as part of this article, who's an expert on housing. What does he make of this 42,000 a year figure?
He thinks that, one thing he said on the labour market that's here, that's one question I put to him, do we actually have the manpower to do that? He says, yes, he thinks we do, but you have to manoeuvre that workforce so it's actually doing the building that you need and not building developments that are kind of unsuited. I think the one thing that this will call into focus as well is, when you have a lot of debate about, should we have public housing and public land and issues around that, I think the government will come back and say, hold on a second, the situation is so severe now that we no longer have any room for debates like this.
Okay, I want to come back to you as well, Craig, because you have another story about where people might be moving to in Cabinet after the handover in December, and we now know that'll be on the 17th of December. But to discuss the housing story in further detail, I'm joined by two members of the Oireachtas Housing Committee, Mary Fitzpatrick, Fianna Fáil Senator, and Rebecca Moynihan, Labour Party Senator and Housing Spokesperson. And thank you both for joining us. Mary Fitzpatrick, to you first. The Taoiseach yesterday said that the government's housing completion target for this year will be surpassed. But really, that is a moot point. It doesn't really matter, because if the targets are too low, it doesn't matter that you've surpassed it, right?
Well, what matters is that everything that can be done is being done to increase housing supply and affordability, and that is what we're doing. The targets were based on the best available information at the time, which was the available census. The research was done by the ESRI, and that is what informed Housing for All as a plan. It is important, and Craig acknowledged that, that the plan will be reviewed. And the other element that is included is that each local authority now has to produce a housing needs demand assessment every year. And that housing needs demand assessment actually gives us a bottom up as opposed to a top-down assessment of what the housing need in every local authority is, not just for social housing, but for social housing, affordable cost rental and private housing. Okay. And that's a big change, because it is a challenge, obviously, to size this. But the most important point is everything that can be done being done? And it is.
Well,
every
suppose
resource
the most,
and support
the most,
that is available
the most important
is being
point,
provided.
Mary, is that we will have a shortfall of up to 65,000 homes by 2030.
If nothing changes.
Well, even if the ambitious targets set by Dara O'Brien are met, according to this piece today, I mean,
if they're met and exceeded, obviously, we won't have 65. It is impossible. None of us have a crystal ball, Claire. It is one assessment. Absolutely, it is an assessment. And if you run the numbers a certain way, you can come up with that number. But what's really important is everything that can be done being done, and that is the case. €20 billion has been allocated for Housing for All. It has an ambitious target, up to 40,000 houses a year being delivered by 2030. But they're targets that can be exceeded. They're not caps. There is no limit on this. What we have to ensure is that every available resource is being used. So the land, the finance, the human resource, that local authorities are being supported, that approved housing bodies are being supported, but also that private builders are being supported, and that owners of existing properties, and let's face it, the existing vacant properties are the fastest, most efficient way of increasing our housing stock, that they are being supported too.
Okay.
And Housing for All is doing that. It's sweating every single possibility, every opportunity to increase the housing stock, and critically to increase affordability for people.
Rebecca Moynihan, Mary Fitzpatrick is saying that the critical thing here is that everything that can be done at the moment is being done. Do you agree?
Well, I don't blame Mary for this. I think the housing targets have been outdated for a long time. And you see people like Ronan Lyons in Trinity College, for example, saying from like way back before 2020 that we weren't taking into account decreasing household size in terms of the targets. And so when you hear Mary say things like ambitious, Housing for All is very ambitious, I think what it is doing is the targets that are set out in it are hitting the bare minimum. Now, do I blame the political system for that? No, we can only go on the basis of what we've been told, which is 33,000 households per year. But do we continue to put our head in the sand and say that, you know, that's not a cap and a minimum on it, and this is an ambitious plan? I think that's where we need to have a look and revise where we are and where we're sitting. So what we're seeing from a year on into Housing for All, we're seeing rents are up, we're seeing house prices are up, and we're seeing homelessness are up. And the measure that the government is going to be assessed on Housing for All is, come an election, do people feel the brunt of the housing crisis still hitting them? And if we continue to go along with those targets that are there, I think that we're not going to address that. So the HNDA is a really important thing, where local authorities are deciding on their development plans at the moment, whether or not they're going to zone land, whether or not permissions are going to be granted, what land is needed, and what are the social cost and affordable housing targets that are there. And they're being decided on figures that we clearly know are out of date at this stage.
But do you accept that there have been setbacks here that are beyond the government's control, including rising inflation, supply shortages after the pandemic, and then, of course, we have Russia's invasion of Ukraine?
Absolutely, but that's what I'm saying, is that we can't continue to put our head in the sand around the level of need that's there. We also have falling household size. So other people have been warning that the 33,000 houses that we hear parroted all the time are completely out of date. So what I think the government need to do is immediately move to make a new assessment of the Housing for All targets. Now, targets and delivery of targets are two separate things, and I think that they have to be decoupled from each other. But there's no way that we're going to be meeting the housing need that we have in the country if we keep on saying that these targets are enough. And we know that housing for all these targets aren't ambitious enough in terms of cost rental, in terms of social housing. So let's work together and revise them. And the planning projections that are happening, and we're seeing things like the planning regulator, for example, write to certain local authorities, places like Dunleary, and tell them that they're not allowed to zone extra land, or some places in Meath where they're de-zoning land. And they're all based on the 2016 projections. So like, it's one thing ignoring evidence-based policy making, and it's another thing not trying to engage in it at all.
Okay, so to that point, Mary, burying your head in the sand and not acknowledging that what we need right now is 42,000 homes, not the 27,000 due to be built this year.
Yeah, it's a really important point, Claire, and I suppose it's very hard to hear somebody from the opposition talk about burying our head in the sand when there's 25,000 homes being delayed in judicial reviews. They're planning objections. There are 25,000 homes that could be housing, I don't know, 50, 75,000 people. They're real homes. Like, when you talk about not burying your head in the sand, the opposition needs to stop burying their head in the sand of blaming government, blaming local authorities, blaming everybody else, and at the same time objecting to planning applications for real homes that real people could be living in today.
And is it just the opposition who are doing that?
Absolutely
not. Any politician who's doing it needs to wake up and take their head out of the sand.
Rebecca,
any politician. No public representative who's fit to be elected should be objecting to housing. There's a housing crisis. Everybody accepts that. And any politician, particularly any politician who's in a position to actually affect change, somebody who's elected to the Dáil or who's elected to a local authority, they shouldn't be. They should be supporting. They should be finding solutions to this.
Okay. Rebecca,
there's a housing crisis. These are real people's lives who are being affected.
Rebecca.
Yeah, that's a completely straw man argument, and I agree with Mary. Like, I think, you know, there's no way that you should allow absolute developer-led planning, that developers are the only ones to decide what's going in.
But what we're planning laws for, Rebecca, and you and I know that.
Yeah, absolutely, Mary, and like that's fine. Most people don't unreasonably object to planning. Like, when I put in planning observations, I'm generally doing it to make suggestions and improvement in it. You can't have absolute developer-led planning. But that's also a straw man argument. I do think that there's elements of judicial reviews that are causing problem, but also there's non-commencements. Where developers have permission, they're not commencing those permissions. I'm not blaming the government for that. I'm trying to be constructive in doing it. And I think that's a completely straw man argument to throw out there, where they're saying the opposition need to be careful about judicial reviews and planning. I absolutely agree. I think we're in a housing emergency. I think, you know, people have to take a look at themselves if they're planning on smaller grounds. That doesn't mean that developers should be able to plan and get whatever they want. Okay. There is a balance in the planning system that we have to have, but we are in a housing emergency, and I do think that we have to accept that you can come up with 100 reasons to be against a home or to be against something, but you have to think seriously about it. What will the effect of this be? And I try absolutely not to object to housing within my constituency, to my detriment, okay, at the best of times. And I do take that argument on.
Okay.
On board.
So,
Claire, I suppose it gets to the fundamental point here: is everything that can be done being done? And that is the case. There's 20 billion of public funds dedicated to fixing this problem. State-owned land is being used to build local authority-built affordable and social homes, for the first time ever, affordable cost rental homes, and vacant properties. There's funding there for either private ownership. 7,000 local authority vacant
but
homes have been
refurbished. But you have to know what the problem is, Mary, before you can start to address it.
Claire, can I just tell you, Rebecca, one second. Claire, I have been dealing with this problem as a local authority member, just like Rebecca and other local reps. We understand the problem. That's why we have changed the housing plan. That's why we have made this ambitious commitment. It's not just a plan, though. It's an actual working document that is delivering real
homes. But the targets
Dominic
are
Street
wrong.
In Dublin Central, there you go.
Mary, I'm bringing you right back to the start here, because there's no point in telling us that Housing for All is doing a great job, it's hitting its targets, mm-hmm, if the targets are completely off.
But Claire, back to my first point on that. The targets were based on the only and best available information made at the time. The plan has review built into it on an annual basis. The government itself has told you that they are reviewing it based on the changed circumstances. Nobody, when making this plan, expected there to have been a pandemic for 2 years, a war in Europe, a war in Ukraine. Who thought there'd be 50,000 Ukrainians in Ireland today, 12 months ago? Certainly Ukrainians didn't. And to be fair, to the officials in the department, they didn't have a crystal ball either.
Okay.
So the targets are there, they're set, they're being met, they'll be exceeded. But most importantly, they'll be reviewed. And every available resource is being applied to address this crisis. And everybody needs to pull up their sleeves,
Claire,
and do the same.
Yeah, go ahead, Rebecca.
I'll come in here. We have somewhere like Dolphin House, which is publicly owned land in Dublin City Council. 44 houses are going to be delayed in 10 years. On Bonham Street and Cork Street and Springvale site in Chapel Lizard, we're looking at what should have been rapid build housing is now not going to be delivered until 2024. We had Limerick in at the Housing Committee, for example, the other day, and the LDA are going to take till 2026 to master plan the site beside the train station. It's the urgency behind some of the developments that are taking place in the state level that are not urgent enough and not realising that we need to move faster. We're nearly a year into the Ukrainian refugee housing crisis, and it's only at this stage that we're talking about modular housing and planning.
Okay.
We've lost 6 months.
All right. Rebecca Moynihan from the Labour Party and Mary Fitzpatrick from Fianna Fáil, thank you both for joining us. Back to Craig Hughes now, saying another element to what you're reporting today is what's going to happen when we get to December the 17th and Micheál Martin becomes Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar becomes Taoiseach. Now, what is likely in store for Micheál Martin when it comes to a portfolio?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I think the smart money at the moment is veering towards him taking the foreign affairs portfolio.
And where does Simon Coveney go?
Potentially into enterprise. Might not be his preferred choice, but I mean, Micheál Martin has first call on that. So I think that there's very little room. We already know that Darragh O'Brien is staying in housing. We know that the two finance ministers are rotating.
They're swapping.
So it doesn't leave many options. There is a question mark over whether Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly remains in office or not. A conundrum for Micheál Martin is that Fianna Fáil loses the chief whip's position, that'll rotate to Fianna Gael. So what does he do with Jack Chambers now? There's potential that he could take up that extra super junior portfolio, or he did train as a doctor. Would he go into health, or would someone else go into health and find a place for him elsewhere? Other than that, I can't see much movement. I expect Helen McEntee to remain in justice, and perhaps you might see someone like Hildegard Nocton, if she loses her seat as a super junior at cabinet, perhaps she could come in and be one of the deputies who deputises for Minister McEntee while she's on maternity leave. It is interesting, but I think you expect very little movement around the cabinet table outside of that. I think it's the two party leaders will use the junior ranks to do the bulk of the reshuffling.
Do you think this has all been negotiated and sorted out, or is it still being worked on?
I'd be surprised if the two party leaders didn't have a good idea where they were going to put their respective ministers, to be honest.
Okay, and we'll all find out for sure in about a month or so's time. Craig, thanks very much for coming in. Craig Hughes there from the Daily Mail. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.